Our boy's best friend is his mother. She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Here we have a quiet little motel, when in fact it has now become known as the scene of the crime.
Hey zombies, and welcome to another episode of the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast. I am your host, Ron Martin, and this week is our Psycho wrap-up show. We're going to be looking at all of the Psycho movies that we've looked at the past 4 weeks, plus a couple of TV shows based on the Psycho storyline, and possibly I might even make fun of a little Psycho remake action. With me today is no one. I'm here by myself doing this wrap-up show on my own. Hammer has abandoned me. Even Morty has abandoned me. So I'm here alone, and there's no one here to hold me back. Do you know what that means? That means I will fight you. I will fight each and every one of you, because that's what I do. I get drunk, and I fight people. Don't take it personally. I'll buy you a drink afterwards, and if history is any indication, you probably will be able to kick my ass. But before we do that, if you haven't already done so, now is the time to go to the website, zombie7.com, hit that little iTunes button, go to the new iTunes feed that we have. Instead of the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast, it's just Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast. If you haven't done so already, you want to subscribe to Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast. I believe we might have one more show, this show and one more show, on the Podomatic feed. So if you haven't done it yet, you're still on the Podomatic feed, you have this show and next show, and then you got nothing else. So what do you got to lose? It's going to take you approximately 18 seconds to make this move. So I don't want to just be quiet on the podcast for 18 seconds while you do that. I'm going to assume that you're going to do that on your own. You can do it right now while you're listening to me right now. In the last 18 seconds that I've been talking, you could have had this already done. Also on the website, the zombie7.com website, we've added Little Miss Horror Nerd's Little Horror Blog. If you remember Jessica from a couple episodes ago, actually it was last week's episode that Jessica was on. We just had the bonus show come out, so I'm thinking a couple episodes. She's going to be writing a horror blog for the zombie7.com, give you another reason to come back to the website once or twice a week. And we'll update the Facebook page or the Twitter account whenever there's a new blog. So that way we can focus on things other than horror franchises that we focus on the show. This week, for example, when the article comes out, it'll be, she claims that there are a couple of horror remakes that are actually good. Don't know if I believe that. I'll have to read Little Miss Horror Nerd's Little Horror Blog in order to see if she can convince me otherwise. The show's a little bit late this week. Last night I was a guest on Jason Pyle's Movie Podcast Weekly show, talking about the new movie, The Conjuring, the number one movie in the country, as we'll get to later. So if you just love the sound of my voice, you can listen to what's probably going to be a really long show over at moviepodcastweekly.com. I'm on the latest show. So with that in mind, let's move on to some horror news. First up, if anyone is on the StephenKing.com mailing list like I am, you would have gotten an email this week talking about Stephen King's Dr. Sleep, a book tour event, which is taking place in New York City on September 24th. Stephen King and his son, Owen King, also an author, will be at John Jay College. And if you guys don't know who John Jay is, look it up, American, one of the founding fathers of this country. For $40, you will get to hear Stephen King and Owen King talk about their new books they have out, and they'll be reading from their new books that they have out, and you will also get a copy of Dr. Sleep, which is the sequel to Stephen King's The Shining, a sequel about almost 40 years later. Not quite, but almost 40 years later. And all proceeds go to benefit the New York City School Kids Read Program that basically buys books for schools in at-risk neighborhoods in New York City. So if you're anywhere around New York City, you can get to New York City. It's just a train ride away. Go for it. Tickets go on sale by the time you're listening to this. Tickets will be on sale noon today, July 23rd. Next up, since we're doing the Psycho wrap-up show, it's probably appropriate that we look at some of the comments made from the Bates Motel cast about season 2 of Bates Motel. One of the things that came out of the Comic-Con panel is that Vera Farmiga, the lady who plays Norma Bates, pitched a storyline, and it actually got used, and we'll be seeing it in episode 2. The only hint we were given was the word Sandman. So that could basically mean anything from a guy who breaks into your house to make you sleep at night to a professional wrestler that bashes beer cans on his head. So, also in the second season, some of the writers and some of the creators of the show have said that they are going to make more references to the original Psycho film, use some things that are universally known in the Psycho movie, some iconic objects other than what they have been using already. So they're going to make, you know, more references to the Psycho original movie, not necessarily the rest of the series that we've been going through. I mean, before you heard this podcast, how many people even knew there were more than one Psycho movie? Speaking of Vera Farmiga, she is one of the stars of the current number one movie in America, The Conjuring. The Conjuring is based on a true story of Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are like the godparents of paranormal investigating. They started ghost hunting back in the 50s. And this is one of their more famous cases. This story is based on one of their more famous cases. For like a more complete review of the movie, like I said, we discuss it over at Movie Podcast Weekly. I will say that I thought it was a good movie. I don't think it was a great movie. I think on that podcast I gave it a 6 out of 10. And I would stick to that. I would recommend it if you want to see a decent horror movie. I wouldn't look for anything super spectacular. Also, recently in my column on 411mania.com, I don't know that I've mentioned it on here, for anyone who is old enough to remember the original Nintendo Entertainment System, a little 8-bit system that changed the world of home gaming forever, and also doubles as the greatest Christmas gift I ever got. Anyway, for the horror fans who also had a Nintendo Entertainment System, you remember two titles specifically. There's no such thing as a good video game based on a horror movie just yet. I think that's probably coming soon. For now, most video game franchises that have been horror-based and successful, your Resident Evils, your Silent Hills, their original storylines made for the video game. There's no famous movie monsters that the stories are based on. But Nintendo tried that back in the day. There was a Friday the 13th game. There was a Nightmare on Elm Street game. Both of them were pretty terrible. They're remembered pretty fondly now, only because people my age were all so old. We see the Nintendo version of Friday the 13th, and we're like, oh man, that was awesome. I never played that game, but it wasn't awesome. Those games sucked. They still suck to this day, but I would play them because, you know, why does anybody do anything? Nostalgic, obviously. But recently, NECA, I don't know who the hell NECA is. It's some sort of action figure company, I guess. But recently, they have produced a really super cool glow-in-the-dark Jason Voorhees figure that came directly from the Friday the 13th Nintendo game. And if, for those of you who haven't played the Friday the 13th Nintendo game, you need to know that Jason Voorhees in that game was purple and like a really light blue. Don't ask me why, but when you see the character and the box design, it takes you immediately back to the game. Okay, so with all of the hype for the Jason Voorhees NES version, now NECA is talking about doing a Freddy Krueger version of his Nightmare on Elm Street video game from the NES era, which means you're going to get a pretty orange-looking Freddy Krueger. Again, just like the Friday the 13th game, if you're my age and you see the NES version of Nightmare on Elm Street, you might think it's really cool. But just remember, it was not a good game. But I would definitely be down with a Freddy Krueger NES 8-bit action figure. And just so you guys know that I'm not all talk on the podcast, I back up what I say on the podcast. Recently, at a comic book store, I had the opportunity to purchase a Freddy Krueger action figure. I don't have a Freddy Krueger action figure. I'd like to have a Freddy Krueger action figure to put up in my library. But this Freddy Krueger action figure was from Nightmare on Elm Street 5. And it came with a Freddy baby. I'm not buying Freddy baby. I don't care if that action... Okay, if it was $5, I probably would have bought it. I'm not going to lie. But $20, I'm not spending $20 on a Freddy Krueger action figure if it comes with Freddy baby. And $20 is a very reasonable price for an action figure in this comic book store. You guys probably know, a comic book store is like to mark up their products like 500%. So most action figures at a comic book store are like $40, when originally when they came out you could get them for $10, something like that. So this was a reasonably priced Freddy Krueger doll, and I have no part in supporting Freddy baby. But that being said, that's our horror news. But for now, we have to talk Psycho. We just finished up all four Psycho movies. And as you probably know, there was a remake of Psycho in 1998. It was directed by Gus Van Sant and Sant? Something like that. And starred Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates. And yes, it's the Vince Vaughn that you think of, that you're thinking of. It's the main character from movies like Dodgeball and Wedding Crashers, playing one of the most iconic movie figures of all time. And as crappy as that sounds, that doesn't even begin to describe how crappy this movie was. I actually went and saw this in the theaters with my roommate at the time. And pretty much, this is a shot-for-shot remake. So, like, it's not even some things are similar. Almost the entire movie is the exact same movie that Hitchcock did. And this is pretty much the reason why I hate remakes. One of the reasons why I hate remakes. A big reason why I hate remakes. It also kind of proves that the original Psycho wasn't just all Alfred Hitchcock, because I don't know that anyone can play Norman Bates like Anthony Perkins can play Norman Bates. Freddie Highmore in the Bates Motel series is doing an okay job, but I don't know that this Norman Bates that he plays is going to be the same Norman Bates. I mean, obviously it's the same character, but they're a little different. Vince Vaughn had no business being on the same set of a movie that had Psycho in the title. And I've also realized that I don't like Gus Van Sant. I just looked up his filmography, and I don't like a single movie that he's ever done. Most people listening probably love Good Will Hunting. That's on my top 10 worst movies of all time. Most people listening probably also liked Milk. Hated it. Sorry, not my thing. I don't like any movie that Gus Van Sant has ever done, so I am adding him to my will not see a movie if his name is attached to it list. As a matter of fact, the only thing that I even see in his bio that I can even stand is the music video Under the Bridge for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So if you've ever thought about seeing the 1998 remake of Psycho, don't bother. You're not missing anything. This movie means nothing. This movie is like critically panned. It's the first movie that people like me will bring up when we want to bash remakes. Mostly because we're assholes, but also because it got made. This piece of crap got made. And how many movies in 1998, how many movie scripts got rejected? How many new writers didn't get their big break because somebody had a hard-on to remake Psycho? So we get a shot-for-shot remake, and I know I'm fond of saying that remakes you know, Jessica, Little Miss Horror Nerd, as you know, she'll disagree with me later on, probably on the her blog on our website. But how many times have I said that remakes don't matter? You're making a movie that doesn't matter. Every single time we do one of these franchises and there's a remake, I'm going to say that. But more so than any of the other remakes, this Psycho movie really doesn't matter. Because it doesn't even bring anything new to the table. It's the exact same movie, only without the acting talent, without the directing talent that the first movie brought. Which brings us to Bates Motel, which is another way that Universal tried to make some money off of the Psycho franchise. And I'll blame them. If you have a franchise sitting dormant that you think you can make money off of, I'm saying go for it. It's a known franchise. People like it. You know people are going to watch it. What I'm guessing you may not know is the Bates Motel I'm referring to is not the current drama on A&E. Instead, it was a TV pilot in 1987 on NBC. They made a pilot called Bates Motel, which, get this, it's a Psycho story. They wanted it to be picked up as a regular TV show, and the Bates Motel TV show, had it got picked up, would not have Norman Bates in it. The storyline fit around a guy who roomed with Norman Bates at the asylum that Norman Bates was at. He gets out of the asylum, and when Norman passes away, he finds out, this guy's Alex West. Alex finds out that he's been named as the person who's going to inherit the Bates Motel from the Bates family. Of course, he moves to the Bates Motel, tries to open it up, and weird shit starts to happen. This continues a string of strange TV shows in the 1980s based on these slasher horror franchises. For example, there was a Friday the 13th TV show that had nothing to do with Jason Voorhees. A matter of fact, it was a, if I remember correctly, and I'm not looking this up on the internet or anything, I'm just going from memory. If I remember correctly, there was some sort of like pawn shop or an oddity shop or a secondhand store or something. And every item from the store was cursed. So the TV show would follow these items and these two kids trying to get all the items back to the store. So why it was called Friday the 13th? I have no freaking clue. Why not call it Store of Cursed Items, having nothing to do with Jason Voorhees? On top of that, we had Freddy's Nightmares, which Hammer and I covered during the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. Well, Freddy's Nightmares at least had Freddy Krueger. It focused more on the town of Springwood and things that happened in Springwood, and not every episode, most episodes, didn't even have Freddy Krueger as the main antagonist. He would just pop up every now and then like a horror host and be like, hey, I'm Freddy Krueger, watch this. This first attempt at a Bates Motel series was kind of along those same lines. We had no Norman Bates, mainly because Anthony Perkins didn't want to reprise the role for this particular TV series. But if you're a Psycho completist and you have to see everything Psycho, you can probably find this on the internet. It's not been released on DVD, but that doesn't always mean that you can't get it on DVD, if you know what I'm saying. If you're a Psycho completist, or you really like Lori Petty or Jason Bateman, they were both involved with the project. It only went the one show. No one wanted to pick it up. It would be all the way until 2012 when we got the new Bates Motel series. It was heavily hyped, and, you know, it gets viewers. It's doing well. It had a 10-episode season. It got picked up for 10 more episodes. Season 2, I just talked about some of the things that are going to happen in Season 2 during the news segment for this very show. For that, I've actually caught up. I've actually watched all 10 episodes. So those of you out there who are probably saying, well, you haven't even watched all the episodes, I have now. And, you know, why you gotta hate. Now, the breakout star from the main cast probably is Vera Farmiga, who has done an excellent job as Norma Bates. And I think maybe it was one of the reasons I was a little bit disappointed with The Conjuring, because I thought that she was going to kick ass in that movie, and she really didn't do much of anything. I think that series is going to focus more on the town And we find out during the series that there's lots of strange and unusual things that happen in the town of White Pine Bay, Oregon. I don't know why they moved the city that the base motel is in from Fairvale, California to White Pine Bay, Oregon. Yes, that's right. I finally figured out how to say Fairvale. It only took 5 episodes. It gives me a very much more, less of a, well, there's a little bit of a psycho vibe to it, for sure, because of the hotel and the house. But I get more of a Twin Peaks vibe from it than anything else. If any of you ever watched the Twin Peaks series, I kind of get that sort of, like, the whole town's going to be involved. I wonder, since Vera Farmiga is, this is supposed to be a prequel to the original Psycho, so I wonder if, since Vera Farmiga is kind of the breakout star and kind of the one getting the most attention on the series right now, if they're actually going to go the full route and have Norman Bates kill her at some point in the series, like he did before the first movie, before Psycho. My guess is, unless they find out at some point they're going to get canceled, my guess is they will chicken out and not kill her character off, because she's such a strong character. But I think in order for the series to progress, and in order for the series to focus more on Norman Bates, I think that you definitely have to get her out of the picture. That's the only way that Norman Bates is going to become the main focus of that TV show. But I've enjoyed what I watched so far. I don't know if I've enjoyed it in a psycho way, but surely there are some interesting storylines going on. And maybe they moved it to Oregon because you can grow weed better in Oregon. Although I thought you could grow a lot of weed really easy in California too. So I don't really know. I've never been to the West Coast. I know that you can grow weed here in Indiana. That's for sure. So that pretty much covers all of the different incarnations of Psycho, from the big screen to remakes to TV. Before we get into actually talking about some of the movies that we covered already with the various guest hosts, just to give you guys a break, to give you a break from the monotony of my voice, you're probably right now saying, man, this is going to be an hour-long show, and I have to keep listening to the same guy talk over and over again. Actually, to break up the monotony and give you guys a little break, I'm bringing back a segment from our very first wrap-up show. For those of you who were lucky enough to get involved with the show before we had to start erasing shows, if you've ever listened to the Scream wrap-up show, I wanted to do a segment in every wrap-up show that was called 10 Questions with Hammer. Unfortunately, it didn't work very well in the Scream wrap-up show. For those of you who haven't seen the Scream, listen to the Scream wrap-up show. I promise you, there is a plan in place. This is going to happen at some point. You will be able to listen to it. But for the purposes of this particular show, for the purposes of this podcast, I brought back, for this show, former co-hosts of the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast, Jeff Hammer, to answer 10 questions about Psycho franchise. It should be noted that before I make this call, I'm pretty sure that Hammer has only ever seen the first Psycho, and that was probably a long time ago. So let's do this. Hammer, for the wrap-up show, what I'm doing is, so they don't have to listen to me, just me, for a straight hour, I'm breaking it up with 10 minutes of you.
Cool.
Take it away. Psycho. All 4 movies.
Take what away?
Take over the show.
Dude, I've seen the first one. I haven't seen any of the others, like, ever.
No, I'm guessing that you've seen the first one, and you saw it probably a long time ago, and you don't remember all of it, and you've never seen the other 3.
Yes, you're right.
That's probably the case with most people, I'm guessing. No, that's all right. Because the segment I'm planning right now was based on the fact that I thought you would only watch the first one. So, Hammer, I have 10 questions here, and I'm going to score them. There's a total of 20 possible points. off of these 10 questions. If you get 13 points of this test, I will let you choose the next movie that we do for the one night stand.
Okay.
It could be anything you want, even that one Angel movie you wanted to do.
Okay, fair enough.
Are you ready for these questions, Hammer?
Probably not.
The first two are true and false, so you got a 50-50 chance.
Okay.
And this covers all four movies in the series, but not the Bates Motel TV series or the remake. First one's the easiest one. True or false, Norma Bates is Norman Bates' mother.
I believe that's true.
See, this is where your lack of watching the other three movies comes in to your advantage. Because at one point she wasn't, and then by the end of the series she was again. So that's true. Congratulations, Hammer. You now have 2 points.
Okay. I guess I don't get that, but I
watch the second and third of the movies. Hammer, second question. True or false? If you take a shower at the Bates Motel, Norman will see you. If you take a shower anywhere in the Bates Motel.
What if I don't take a shower in the bathroom of the Bates Motel?
Well, where are you going to shower at, dude? In your truck? You can't shower in that little red car that you got now. You can barely move in it.
Maybe you can shower in the sink. I'm guessing it must be true.
The correct answer to that is true. No one's ever showered in a Psycho movie without Norman Bates watching them. Congratulations, Hammer. You have 4 points. You are almost a third of the way to your point total. Question number 3. What was used for blood in the famous shower scene from the original Psycho?
What was used for blood?
No looking on the internet either. If you're looking on the internet, the listeners are going to find out, and we're going to come over to your house and kick your ass.
Could it be pig's blood or some sort of corn syrup?
Or you're trying to make time so you can look it up on the internet. It's obvious you don't know.
Yeah.
The correct answer for that, Hammer, is chocolate syrup.
Chocolate syrup?
You need to remember that the original Psycho was in black and white.
Yeah. Okay.
I award you no points. Okay, the next question, question number 4. I'm going to name...
Vivian Leigh.
Despite what you like, you want to think Vivian Leigh was in none of these movies. I'm going to name the four directors of these four movies, and I want you to put them in order from best movie to worst movie.
Okay.
Alfred Hitchcock.
That's probably the best.
Richard Franklin. Anthony Perkins. And Mick Garris.
Okay, I'm supposed to put them in order from best to worst, or best, worst to best?
Best to worst, with the best director... The director who directed the best movie first.
Okay, so I really don't know much about any of these guys. Well, obviously Hitchcock. I'm going to bet Hitchcock first.
Oh, so far, so good. That's 1 point.
Mick Garris second, Richard Franklin third, and Anthony Perkins fourth.
You understand Anthony Perkins is Norman Bates, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also know that I'm not familiar with him being a director.
Is that
so
your?
I could be
is
wrong.
That your, is that your final answer?
Yeah.
I understand why you'd put Mick Garris second, and not knowing the movies, I probably would have done the same thing. But we also need to remember that Mick Garris is very hit or miss, and this was a miss. Actually, from best to worst, they're in the order that I gave them to you: Hitchcock, Franklin, Perkins, Garris.
Okay.
So you got 1 point. Now 5 points. Question number 5. This is multiple choice. If you work at the Bates Motel. And you're going to hide a dead body. I'm sorry, you're going to hide it, A, under a mattress, B, in the desert, C, in the ice machine, or D, in Mother's room. Not counting Mother as a dead body, of course.
Is this what I'm going to do, or is this what is done in the movies?
One of these things is done in the movies.
I like the idea of the ice machine.
Are you going with the ice machine?
I'm going to go with the ice machine.
The correct answer for this question, Hammer, is in the ice machine. He actually did hide a dead body in the ice machine. Congratulations, you have another point. I'm giving you 2 points for that. You have 7 points. Now, I'm going to give you a list of actors. All but one of these actors appeared in a Psycho sequel. I want you to tell me which one did not appear in a Psycho sequel. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is question number 6. Here are the actors. Olivia Hussey, Dennis Franz, John Landis, Jeff Fahey, Art Carney, or Robert Loggia. One of those 6 actors did not appear in Psycho sequels.
Dennis Franz or whatever.
The correct answer for that is actually Art Carney. He did not appear in any of the Psycho movies. Dennis Franz was in Psycho 2.
I thought you would have never put Art Carney in there if he didn't appear. So
I know, that's why I picked him. It actually took me a long time to figure out who I was going to put in there. Question number 7. Hammer, you have 7 points. Which Psycho movie had the highest body count? 1, 2, 3, or 4? Which one of those movies?
Well, logic would tell me 4, but that's probably going to steer me down the wrong road. 3.
Oh, so close. The correct answer is 2.
Yeah, I thought about that first, too.
6 people died in the second.
Sequel has to be higher than the first. But
stuck on 7 points.
I figured they'd keep going.
You got 3 questions left. Number 8 is a multiple choice. Norman Bates ended up marrying his A, lawyer, B, psychologist, C, victim's sister, or D, co-worker at the diner he got a job at.
The bad part about this is if this was movies that came out in like the last 10 years, I could just like, I would just know it somehow, even if I haven't seen it. I'm going to go with the victim's sister.
The correct answer is his psychologist. Norman Bates married his psychologist.
Oh, that's even stupider.
Yep. His victim's sister ended up becoming a victim.
Now that's logical.
Now, these last 2 questions are where you can make up a lot of points, Hammer. Question number 9. I'm going to give you 5 famous Normans. You tell me why they're famous. I'll give you 1 point for each one. Are you ready?
Sure.
Number 1, Norman Fell.
He was an American actor.
Did you look him up on your... You get off your fucking computer, dude.
Born in 1924 in Philadelphia.
Get off your computer. Now I can't give you a point for that, even if you get it right. Which you weren't going to anyway.
Maybe I wasn't going to anyway. It was right.
Because you looked it up.
Well, it was still right. Don't say it wasn't right. He wasn't an American actor.
What's he known for, though? That's the question. Okay, I'm tired of you trying to read his bio. Yeah, you're not getting a point for that, dude. He played Mr. Roper on Three's Company. This next one was pretty much a give me to you. So you better not be using your computer on this one.
Okay, so hang on. Before you even say it, Norman Osborn was the Green Goblin.
Okay, so that Norman Osborn was the next one, so you got 8 points. Norm Peterson.
I'm legitimately thinking on this one.
Don't be thinking. Don't be thinking with your fingers.
Oh, hey, that's the that's the fat guy on Cheers, isn't it?
I'm gonna give you the point, but I'm a little dubious about how you got that
answer. A little dubious.
Next, Norman Rockwell.
He's a painter.
I'll give you a point for that one. That was the answer I was looking for. And the last Norman Schwarzkopf.
I believe he was a general during the Gulf War.
You're correct. Are you looking at Wikipedia of famous Normans?
No, I know Norman.
Last question, and the computer cannot help you with this one. Place the following 8 locations in order from most likely to be killed if you go there to least likely to be killed if you go there.
Hang on, I need a pencil.
Here's 8 places. Rank them from number 1 being the place you're most likely to get killed if you go there, with number 8 being the place that you're least likely to get killed if you go there.
Okay, and this is based on Horn Hill?
These are just based on knowledge. Are you ready?
Well, life knowledge or horror movie knowledge?
All knowledge. Crystal Lake is number 1. The Bates Motel is number 2. The Motel 6 is number 3. Ellettsville is number 4. Summer Camp is number 5. A Slumber Party is number 6. Woodsboro is number 7. Oh, and A Carnival is number 8. I've personally survived 4 of these 8.
Okay, so I think there's probably been more people appear at Crystal Lake and made it out than appeared at Bates Motel and made it out. So I'm going to say Bates Motel is the most likely to die.
Okay.
And then Crystal Lake.
Okay.
I'm going to say Summer Camp next, then Slumber Party, then Woodsboro, then the Carnival, then Motel 6, then that one.
Remember, you need 2 of these to win the 10 questions with Hammer.
Okay.
Are you ready for the answer?
Sure.
You want me to start at 8 or 1?
Start at 8.
Number 8, the safest place of these 8 locations is Ellettsville.
Okay.
Because seriously, what happened in Ellettsville? And for the listeners out there, Ellettsville is where I live. There's like, 200 people that live here?
Yeah, probably.
Number 7 is Woodsboro. Because if you die in Woodsboro, it's because somebody wants to kill you. Not just because you live there.
Well, just like everywhere else. I see your point, yeah.
Number 6 is the Carnival. Because there's 2 ways to die at the Carnival. Either you can get killed by a monster in a mask, or you can die on one of those shaky-ass rides that they barely put together. Number 5 is a Slumber Party. Because we all know that big-breasted chicks get killed a lot. And if they're going to all converge on the same location, then the rates of them possibly getting killed is obviously going to go way up. Number 4 is the Bates Motel. Because even though the percentage of people who go there die may be a little bit greater, not that many people go there, so not that many people die there.
Okay, but you said if you go here, you're dead. You didn't say, if you decide to go here...
Hey, don't question. I didn't make these rules up.
If you go to the Bates Motel...
Number 3 is the Motel 6.
You're far more likely to die if you go to the Bates Motel than if you go to the Swamp.
That's not true. You're far less likely to die at the Bates Motel because Norm Bates isn't the bad guy than you are at the Motel 6, which is number 3. And anyone who's ever stayed at a Motel 6 agrees with me. Number 2 is Summer Camp. Because roughly half of all horror movies take place at Summer Camp. And number 1 is Crystal Lake, because Jason kills everybody.
How many people went into Bates Motel and walked out?
Quite a few.
Okay, fair enough, I guess.
But congratulations, Hammer, you have exactly 13 points. It's exactly what you needed to choose the next One Night Stand movie, which will take place in roughly like 2.5 months.
Well, I'm glad I did.
So congratulations, Hammer. Thank you for joining us on the Psycho Wrap-Up Show, even though you have no idea about any of the Psycho movies.
Hey, I do too. I saw the Vince Vaughn and Haish one.
There you go. 10 questions with Hammer. He barely snuck by the skin of his teeth, and he actually will get to pick the One Night Stand episode. We already have our One Night Stand episode that he's going to be on the show prepared for next week. We already know what show we're doing. But the show after that, after we do our next franchise... he also will get to pick the episode because he barely squeaked by, even though I'm not sure that he actually didn't cheat. One question that I kind of proposed was, who else do we think could play Norman Bates? Anthony Perkins really defines the character. Unlike, for example, Bates Motel, which I talked about earlier in this podcast, where the character of Norma is kind of the dominant character in that series. I think that in all 4 Psycho movies, Perkins is the best actor. Not to say there wasn't good acting from anybody else. Let's say that Perkins was the strongest actor. I think it was really obvious in the 4th Psycho film, which I didn't like as much as the other 3 Psycho films. But when you have 2 different people playing the same character, and Anthony Perkins knows the character so well, and he plays the character so well, it just leaves Henry Thomas in his shadow. It doesn't help that, because he was some punk kid, you thought he was all that from E.T., I guess. He could go to, maybe he did this movie so he could go to horror conventions and get $20 a pop for his autograph. That's what I'm going to do when I retire from the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast. It's going to be so popular, I'm just going to go to horror conventions and then, you know, play episodes at my booth as I charge. I'm only charge $15 an autograph because I got to undercut everybody else in order to make any money. And maybe I can trick some people into thinking, since I'm a short guy, maybe I can trick some people into thinking that I played one of the trolls in Troll or something. With that having been said, let's look at the actual Psycho movie that came out in 1960, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Alfred Hitchcock died in April of 1980, I think of kidney failure or just declining health in general. I mean, he was 80 years old, so he was kind of an old guy. I've been fond lately of the phrase, first line of the obit, meaning, okay, so when this person passes away, what's the most important thing that he's done? What's going to be in the first line of this person's obituary? When Alfred Hitchcock died, he's obviously one of the most famous directors of all time. And in many of the obituaries that ran for Alfred Hitchcock, Psycho was the first movie mentioned when the obituary got to the point where they were discussing movies that Alfred Hitchcock was famous for. So that's a pretty big compliment to the movie Psycho, that of all of the famous movies that Alfred Hitchcock has done, like North by Northwest, Dial M for Murder, The Birds, that Psycho is going to be the first movie mentioned. And there's a reason for that. Psycho is not only beloved by horror fans like me, like by people like the listening audience, people who are willing to sit here and listen to me drone on about Alfred Hitchcock and Psycho and Anthony Perkins and Norman Bates and remakes and Lord knows whatever else I start talking about. But it's also a favorite movie of teachers of film. If you've taken a film class, you've probably had to watch Psycho. For example, Psycho is the first time that we've actually seen a toilet on screen. There's a scene in the movie where Marion Crane takes some newspaper, flushes it down the toilet, and they get a scene of the toilet flushing that had never been in the movie before. Believe it or not, by 1960, toilets were still centered out of movies. Nobody wanted to put a toilet in their movie. I don't know why. When I watched the film earlier this month, when you've seen the film, you probably didn't think anything of it because it's just a fucking toilet. We see toilets every day. We use toilets every day. If you don't use a toilet every day, then you probably should go talk to your doctor because there's probably something wrong with your plumbing. But Alfred Hitchcock said, hey, you know what? I'm going to put a toilet in my movie. Oh my gosh. A freaking toilet is in the movie. Now everybody can put toilets in their movie and they can feel safe about doing so. Another thing that Hitchcock did to also be true to the book, but also, you know, it's his directing style. He made us empathize with this one character, Marion Crane, for the first 40 minutes of the film. And then when we think things are picking up, hey, here's Marion Crane, she's at the Shady Motel, here's this Norman Bates character, we don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen to Marion? She's going to get hacked to death in probably the most famous death scene in cinema history. So after 40 minutes of making us identify with this character, making us care about this character, he just completely kills off what had, to that point, been the main character of the movie. Now, I wasn't around in 1960. I know that I'm old, but I'm not that old. But I'm willing to bet that that hadn't been done before. If it had been done, it had been done in the movie that no one actually saw. And to this day, it's still very rarely done. If you, let's say this year, the Oz the Great and Powerful came out. If you came into that movie and the Wizard of Oz died 40 minutes into the movie, I mean, what the fuck? What if Jack Sparrow had died 40 minutes into the Pirates of the Caribbean first movie? Then we'd be stuck with freaking Orlando Bloom the whole rest of the time, and Orlando Bloom is no Anthony Perkins. He took a big risk, killing off the only character that we really knew in the movie 40 minutes into the movie and shifting the focus over to this Norman Bates character whom we had to latch onto because we had no one else in the movie that we had to root for. And Norman Bates is kind of a weird character in that we know he's a killer. We know he's messed up in the head. We know that he murders people, but we still sort of sympathize with him. Unlike any of the other franchises that we've done, I mean, we don't sympathize with Freddy Krueger. We don't sympathize, I mean, maybe a little bit, but not all that much with Angela Baker from the Sleepaway camp series. We don't sympathize with Pumpkinhead, for sure. We don't sympathize with any of the killers in the Scream series. But with Norman Bates, if you went to the Bates Motel and you were staying, even knowing Norman Bates' history, I think you might feel pretty safe if you're not, semi-attractive blonde girl with short hair taking a shower. I don't have to worry about that. Morty doesn't have to worry about that. Hammer doesn't have to worry about that. One little side note on that, Janet Leigh has mentioned that since she filmed that shower scene, you know, the most famous death scene probably in movie history, that she has never taken a shower since then. Not that means she's very stinky. I'm sure she's a lovely lady. She just takes baths. And even sometimes when I'm in the shower, I look through the shower curtain to see if I can make out a figure coming into the bathroom with a knife. And that's all a result of Psycho, but also a result of my own paranoia, because I know there are people after me. And if you're one of those people, you know, stop harassing me. Don't come in my bathroom when I'm trying to take a shower. Since that he killed off his main character in the 40 minutes into the film, and since he had a surprise ending where it was, hey, spoiler alert, where it was revealed that Norman Bates was actually his own mother. He had two personalities. Alfred Hitchcock went through great lengths to, you know, hide this movie from the movie going public. For one, all the cast and crew had to sign confidentiality agreements. Sort of like everyone who comes on the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast, they have to sign confidentiality agreements. Not so much for content on the show as much as they're not allowed to tell people what things that they see in my house, and that's for legal reasons. He actually sent his secretary out to all the bookstores in the area to purchase all of the copies of Robert Bloch's Psycho so that no one could buy the book and figure out the ending. Which means somewhere in the Alfred Hitchcock estate, there are probably a couple hundred copies of Psycho. He did something odd. He talked Universal into something odd and with regards to the marketing. Check this out.
Good afternoon. Here we have a quiet little motel tucked away off the main highway. And as you see, perfectly harmless looking. Now, it was at the top of these stairs that the second murder took place. She came out of the door there and met the victim at the top. Of course, in a flash, there was the knife. Well, I suppose you'd call this his hideaway. His hobby, as you see, was taxidermy. Crow here. An owl there. Now, an important scene took place in this room. There was a private supper here. You should have seen the blood. The whole place was, well, it's too horrible to describe. Dreadful. Well, the murderer, you see, crept in here. Very slowly. Of course, the shower was on. There was no sound. And,
yeah, was that a little weird to you? It probably should have been. You know why? Hey, it's a trailer without any of the movie in it. It's just basically Alfred Hitchcock walking around and talking about things that might happen in the movie. The marketing department for this movie was told they couldn't use any clips from the movie for marketing purposes. Would you have gone and seen a movie that you had no idea what was really going to happen? Maybe if Alfred Hitchcock directs it, not if Gus Van Sant directs it. So as we got into the sequels of Psycho, we got into a situation where things were getting a little bit more complicated, storyline-wise. But what it did do is it caused a split storyline, very much like what happened when we did the Sleepaway Camp series, where Sleepaway Camps 2 and 3 followed the continuity of Sleepaway Camp 1. But when we got to Sleepaway Camp 5, which was technically the fourth Sleepaway Camp since the fourth one was thrown out, the continuity switch back to the first one, ignoring the second and third one. That's almost exactly what happened in this particular horror franchise. So for the Psycho, Psycho 2, Psycho 3 franchise, part of the franchise, we get a situation where Norman Bates does a spiel in Psycho, gets out of the insane asylum, gets drove crazy again by a couple of women who are out for revenge, finds out that who he thought his mom was wasn't actually his mom. This lady comes in and claims to be his mom, but he knows his mom has to be dead, so he kills her. And then in the third Psycho movie, we find out that that woman was actually crazy and was his aunt, not his mom. Which, you know, like I said, it sounds like a soap opera, but it works for this fucked up character called Norman Bates. Then we get into the fourth one, which totally ignores all that and has Norman Bates getting out of the mental asylum all married and knocking people up, and he's living this big suburban lifestyle. From my reviews of the podcast, if you're listening to this and we're like 50 minutes in at this point, we may be longer, I don't know. If you're still listening to this, meaning my voice by itself hasn't turned you completely off, then you probably listened to the first four podcasts in this series on Psycho, and you know where I stand on Psycho's, as far as the two different Psycho continuities that we have. I obviously personally enjoy the 1, 2, 3 much more than the 1, 4. And I asked listeners out there, what did you guys prefer? I actually got a reply from our buddy Randy, another Hoosier. In case you guys don't know, you think Indiana is flyover country. Hoosier is someone who lives in Indiana. Randy lives in Indiana. He also says that he liked the storyline of 1 through 3 better. He also presents a couple of names that maybe could play Norman Bates at this point, pointing out Christopher Walken, who at one point was set to play Norman Bates. I think that Christopher Walken could have done it then. I think that Christopher Walken is too big now to do Norman Bates. All we're going to see when we see him portraying Bates is Christopher Walken. Whenever you have Christopher Walken in a character at this point in the movie, all you see is Christopher Walken. You don't ever forget that that's Christopher Walken. Does that make sense? I hope so, because I have no one to bounce this off of right now. He also presents Johnny Depp as a possibility. I think that Johnny Depp's name probably gets thrown around for just about every role because Depp is, you know, a really good actor. Well, I think that Depp is probably more adapt to making a character that you can forget that it's Johnny Depp than Christopher Walken is. I don't know that he would be right for the role. He might be able to pull it off. It would be similar to his character, I think, that he played in Secret Windows. If you've never seen that movie, you should see it. It's a really good movie. He also mentions Robert Englund as a possibility, and I would say Robert Englund 15 years ago, maybe? I think he's probably a little too old at this point, as Anthony Perkins would have been had he lived. He would be too old at this point to play a modern-day Norman Bates. Then he asked if I think there will be a remake of Psycho, since the Bates Motel series is doing so well. I do think, actually, there will be something in the theaters soon. If the Bates Motel numbers stay up for a second season, I do think that Universal will say, hey, we have something with this Psycho property, let's put out another movie. I don't know that it will be a remake per se because of the terribleness that was the 1998 remake. If they try to remake Psycho again after that remake, they would just get blasted by everybody. So I don't think it'll be a straight remake. It may be a movie starring the cast of Bates Motel, much like the X-Files did. Or it might be another sequel that starts a new continuity within the Psycho franchise. But I do think if season 2 of the Bates Motel does well, that we will eventually see something on the big screen in regards to Norman Bates. And if that happens, you know, hey, I'll go watch it. I'll probably drag Hammer along with me kicking and screaming, because that's what Hammer does. And we'll put out a bonus episode on it. That's our deal. If any of these franchises that we cover on the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast puts out a new episode, we're going to cover it, and we're going to put out a bonus episode on that particular show. Not a remake. So if they remake Sleepaway Camp, we're not going to go watch a remake of Sleepaway Camp. But if they put out Scream 5, we'll go see Scream 5. We'll do a podcast about Scream 5. I wanted to say if you are in or around the Salem, Massachusetts area, if you're within, you know, a half an hour drive, or if you've ever visited the city, or you have plans to visit the city anytime soon, the Wax Museum, the Horror Wax Museum, that you should go see anyway. If you listen to this podcast, you're into horror enough that if you're in that area, you should go to this wax museum. It's called Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery. And one of their displays that they have is a psycho display of Mother. And it's extremely creepy. And if you're in the area, go check it out. That's some free advertising for my friends at Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery. It's a one-way friendship. They have no idea that we're friends. But that's how most of my friends are. So that pretty much wraps up Psycho. If you listeners have anything else that I didn't cover here that you wanted to talk about in regards to Psycho, in regards to Anthony Perkins, in regards to the Bates Motel series, in regards to telling me to shut up and you don't want to listen to me for a straight hour by myself, you can hit us up on the Facebook page, the Resurrection of Zombie 7 Podcast on Facebook. You can email us, reszombie7@gmail.com. You can tweet us on Twitter. That's the same handle, reszombie7, reszombie7 on Twitter. And go to the website, zombie7.com. You can leave comments there. We're going to have a post from Little Miss Horror Nerd sometime this week, so you can check that out. You can stream the episodes live from there if you haven't already made the switch from the first feed to the new feed. You need to do that soon. It's what you have 1 week left. And we'll be back next Sunday with our One Night Stand podcast that we like to do in between franchises. We're now officially finished with the Psycho franchise, unless that movie comes out in the theaters in the next couple of years. Our One Night Stand movie is going to be the 2011 independent film Absentia. And if you want to play along, it is available to stream on Netflix if you have the instant stream. So until then, for myself, for Hammer, for Alfred Hitchcock, Norman Bates, anyone in regards to the Psycho series, we thank you for listening. This has been the Resurrection of Zombie 7 Podcast, and we will see you guys next week.
Is it my imagination, or have we lost our minds? It's surreal. It's just not believable. A grand absurdity.
Hey, zombies, and welcome to another episode of the Resurrection of Zombie 7 Podcast. This week on the show. Hope that this records this time. My Skype recorder, it didn't record Jessica for some reason. Did you just die?
No.
Hammer, are you alive?